This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the Washington Commanders, David Harrison. David, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No, of course. I appreciate the invite. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Dave, man, the headlines here certainly revolve around Jaden Daniels, what he did for LSU. If they had any kind of defense other than Lau Zee a year ago, man, come on. They could have maybe played for something, but they really didn't. But what he's done there to breathe life in a franchise, which basically they were flatlined, and ownership certainly had something to do with that, but you got the right guy, and his personality is going to fit so well in Washington. He's always the hardest working guy out there, but he's just a cool dude about everything in life. And so tell us about the impact of Jaden Daniels in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. He's been a great fit. And, you know, when you hear Commanders General Manager Adam Peters and Head Coach Dan Quinn talk about finding Commanders, like, he kind of embodies that, right? Like, he just loves every moment that he's involved with this game. It's kind of been a lot of fun, you know, even on Fridays, which typically a Friday is a much more low-key practice. You guys know that. And he's still out there just you know, it's like it's the greatest joy in his life to just be out there with the guys. And then looking at him in the locker room, I mean, you see him talking with veteran linebackers, you know, fellow young practice squad players that aren't getting as much burn, but he's the same dude with everybody. And I think that when you look at the poise he's had on the field and the consistency, it really just shines through in like every aspect you see him, even when he's visiting, you know, children at the Children's National Hospital during the week, during the off day. Like, he's a very consistent young man. And the good news is that, you know, what he is consistently is very good for the team, the community, and then obviously for himself. He's done a great job putting himself on a really good platform.
Now, you know, looking at one of his weapons, I guess unless you truly follow football or you do fantasy, you know who this is. But a lot of fans, he might be the Rodney Dangerfield, now I'll show you how old I am, of wide receivers, Terry McLaurin. Looking at, he only needs 104 receiving yards for five straight 1,000-yard seasons. Now you say, well, they play 16, 17 games, he should have 1,000 yards, but that means he's available so you can hold him accountable. And I'm looking where he has a career-high 9 receiving touchdowns this season.
Yeah, Terry is one of those guys where, like you said, you know, unless you're into fantasy football or you're just like a really big diehard football nerd, you know, if you're the kind of fan that doesn't get into fantasy and only watches the Saints, you may not really know who Terry McLaurin is, but he's very quietly been one of the more consistent receivers in the National Football League. And it's hard sometimes for that position because it's so dependent, you know, that the scheme has to fit their talents, and the quarterback's got to be able to read the same thing and deliver the ball to a place where they can make the play before they can even start to show their ability and their talents. And Terry certainly has been through a lot in Washington, so he's enjoying this season where they're having a lot more success, and it's real success, right? Like, it feels sustainable. And sometimes in the past, Washington's gone through these spurts where maybe they upset some teams, or, you know, they had that division title in 2020, where they kind of fell into it because everybody else in the division kind of fell off, and then they competed really well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who ended up winning the Super Bowl. So there's all this, you know, oh man, maybe this team is really just that good, but it turns out that nothing that was really happening was sustainable, and obviously the future didn't turn out as well as they had hoped it would from those standpoints. So to see Terry being able to do what he's doing, you know, there was a couple game stretch there where opposing defense was really starting to figure out what Cliff Kingsbury was doing with them and able to kind of take him out of the game. But to see him come back against the Tennessee Titans and once again kind of be that dominant presence for Jaden was really encouraging. So it'll be really interesting to see if the Saints can kind of get it back to where Terry can't have the impact he can, or if Cliff can keep him on this trajectory where he's continuing to set some career highs this year.
This other player, now this is a high-profile, old-school name. You look active NFL tackle leaders, that being Bobby Wagner. I know how we feel about DeMario Davis is number three. And we're familiar with Lavonte David. It seems like he's played forever for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But number one is Bobby Wagner. And I remember London Fletcher. How can you forget a name like London Fletcher with the Rams? Well, I'm looking at Bobby Wagner has 104 tackles already in 2024 and joined London Fletcher as the only player since 2000. So he's basically a quarter of a century with 100-plus tackles in 13 straight seasons. Has 11-plus tackles in four of his five career games for the Saints. So I'm looking for him. 4 to 5 games he's had double-digit tackles against the Saints. He'll probably have 10 or 11 tackles tomorrow.
He ain't an old pops in this business. He might be age-wise, but not playing-wise.
No, that caught my attention. Well, you know how you players, who plays hurt, who's available and all that? That only London Fletcher said 2,000, 100-plus tackles, 13 straight seasons. That's unbelievable to me, health-wise and just production-wise. That we got to show him a lot of love, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that's one of those things where, you know, we all get into this business, you know, whether you're a player. Obviously, if you're a player, you're a fan of the game, right? You have some fun playing the game. But media members, like, you get into this business because you have some sort of affinity for the game. And for me, covering this team, you know, when it was revealed that Bobby Wagner was signing with this team, it was kind of one of those surreal moments. I'm like, man, I'm going to get to cover, you know, this living Hall of Famer, or this active Hall of Famer, right? And then to get to know him and get to meet him. And, I mean, the question there was, you know, how much does he have left in the tank? And I feel like Bobby's been having to answer that question for about 3 or 4 years now. Every single year the question pops up, how much more can he really do on the field? And certainly he had to answer those questions here as well. And he's just answered the bell, you know what I mean? He's just been a great part of the defense beyond the leadership, beyond the mentorship. And he's another one. You know, him and Jaden have a very great relationship in the locker room and together, and they've really formed a bond, which is really unique between quarterback and linebacker to see. But yeah, the numbers again, Bobby, like everybody agrees, you know, he's a you know, Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, probably when his time comes. So the fact that a guy like London Fletcher is not getting that type of love, even though you put him in those same conversations, same with Davis, same with Lavonte, like that's criminal to me. But it's been a lot of fun seeing what Bobby's doing. And yeah, this weekend, man, I mean, he's going to need to be involved, right? Because if the Commanders are going to stop Alvin Kamara, they're going to need Bobby Wagner to be kind of front and center in some of that effort, and at least getting other players in the right position to stop him or making the stop himself.
David, one of the things in watching the Commanders, and he gets overshadowed because Jaden is who he is, and Terry McLaurin, he's certainly a big part of it. But it's Brian Robinson at running back. Oh, we saw him at Alabama, and he was not what you want to call a feature guy for lengths of time. He was a good back there, and then he gets, man, something happens. He gets shot. He comes back from that particular deal. But he's been a big part of the rushing attack for the Commanders this year. Your thoughts on his impact? Because when you look at it, it sort of revolves around the running game and around Brian Robinson. And yet everybody talks about Jaden, but Brian Robinson's been a huge part of their winning ways this year.
Yeah, no, 100%. It shows how much you guys know about this opponent this weekend, because you couldn't be more correct. You know, Jaden gets a lot of love and certainly deserves it. But that's kind of the quarterback syndrome of it and the highlight reel syndrome of it, right? But Brian Robinson really is what makes this thing go for the offense. You know, this is I've been saying it for a long time this season. This isn't just a run first team. This is a power run first team. When Brian Robinson Jr. is not the guy getting the run game going for the Commanders, whether it be for injury or because the defense against him is stepping up, this offense does have a hard time kind of getting their feet under him and really having the full, you know, arsenal of what they can do to try to affect the opponent. So he is kind of the engine that makes this thing really go. Doesn't get as much of the credit like you were referring to, but, you know, the Saints fans who haven't seen the Commanders play or don't know about Brian Robinson, that's something that you can notice this weekend. You know, if Brian Robinson, when Brian Robinson averages 4 yards or more per carry, the Commanders are undefeated this season. And when he doesn't, they have a losing record. When he's not on the field, they don't do very well. So, you know, those things correlate a lot. Something that he has, you mentioned him getting shot his rookie year. That was obviously an unfortunate circumstance, but he struggled at times with availability, you know, and sometimes you can't blame a guy, especially a running back, right? Those guys are known for getting punished, but he's had, you know, three different right leg injuries this year. He had an injury to his knee, his hamstring, and his ankle at different times in the season. So he's really been going through it. But hopefully coming out of this bye week, he's going to be as healthy as you can ask a running back to be at this point in the season. But yeah, man, if this Washington Commanders offense is able to get humming and do everything that they're really capable of doing, it's absolutely going to start with Brian Robinson.
Now, David, obviously Saints fans, but they always, you know, they're familiar with Jaden Daniels. Come on, at LSU,
yeah.
You know, yep. He ran for 1,134 yards, 10 touchdowns. And so, oh, the Saints, we can't stop a mobile quarterback. Like, look at Drew Lock with the Giants. You know, he had like 57, 58, whatever, said. I wonder what's the, they asked me and Mike, what's the over and under on Jaden Daniels?
40 and a half.
Oh, I'd take the over on that.
Yeah, I did.
The, oh, yeah. The, oh, I mean, I'd say right now if Drew Lock got 50-something, I think Jaden might end up having 70, high 70s or low 80s at least. But the question I have for you, and you look at the Saints have now allowed 300 rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. But when you look at Jaden Daniels this year, he's at 590, and he's had six scores. But there's also, like we saw at LSU, explosive runs. And yep. I didn't realize this, that he was number two in the league, only behind Lamar Jackson. We all know about Lamar Jackson, but he's had 18 runs of 10 yards or more. And like I said, that's only second to Lamar. So you look at the whole nationwide National Football League, well, right there in each other's backyard, you got the Ravens and the Commanders with two of the most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a big part of this game. And, you know, coming in through the draft process, that was a big question, is going to the NFL, was it going to be more like Lamar or was it going to be more like Patrick Mahomes, where Mahomes obviously can run the ball, but he typically doesn't do it unless he has to, whereas Lamar, it's part of how he attacks defenses. And Jaden, at least this rookie season, has been a little bit more of that Lamar style, where it's part of the game plan to attack these opposing defenses. And going back to what you guys were talking about, Brian Robinson, you know, the better, the more effective he is, the more these defenses feel like they've got to collapse in a little bit, maybe stack the box a little bit more than they like to, and that obviously ends up at times opening things on the perimeter and the read option plays become a lot more effective and all those things for Jaden to find those lanes. So that's something that, you know, when you go back to the teams that have beaten the Commanders or really made them struggle, that's something they've been good at doing, is not having to stack that box or crowd the middle to stop the running game. That leaves them a little bit more open to contain Jaden. So, you know, the New Orleans Saints, their ability to contain all of that is going to be massive. But, yeah, man, I think if I had to dictate the line to put the over-under on Jaden's rushing yards this weekend, I'd probably put it at like 65.5. I think that's a little bit better of a more of a realistic line, and I'd probably still take the over on that one. But that's, again, something that the Tennessee Titans a couple weeks ago really saw Jaden get back to doing that as well. He doesn't really have the check down in him. You know, when there's a pass short to a running back or something, it might look like a check down to the naked eye, but really it's basically part of the play design. But his check down is essentially taken off and using his athleticism, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Now, David, what about looking at who's, you know, obviously, you know, you look at quarterback hurries, quarterback pressure, but when you look at sacks, those yeah. are all experienced NFL guys. I'm looking at Dante Fowler. He has, 11 tackles for a loss, 8.5 sacks. Frankie Louvu, I think I'm pronouncing that
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he was at Carolina. Yeah. Man, I don't know how they got him. Yeah, he's a hell of a
eight
player.
Eight sacks, eight, I don't want to say 8 or 9 tackles for a loss. But looking at Luvu, Mike, he's had, and he's played a lot against the Saints.
Yes, he has.
He's had, what, 9 tackles for loss and 6 career games versus New Orleans. So they got a lot of wily veterans that are going to be getting after the young Jake Haener that they've been trying to get him down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they love to get after the quarterback, and, you know, Dorrance Armstrong Jr. is a part of that as well. His numbers aren't as gaudy, and he certainly doesn't hit the stat box as much, but he does a lot of things to cause some disruptions. Johnny Newton, the rookie defensive tackle, has done some really good things to cause some disruptions, and really everything kind of filters and flows over to Dante and Frankie, and they're typically pretty good about being there to make sure they clean that stuff up. But there's also, you know, a veteran like Sheldon Day is a player that recently got some love from Dan Quinn, called him a glue guy, and you guys know how important those glue guys are for the roster in the locker room, but also, you know, he's been able to get some early penetration on some of his reps as well. So there's guys across that formation, and you know, for any young quarterback, it's certainly going to be a hard first start to go out there against a defense that's this aggressive. And then, of course, you look in that secondary, looking to get incredibly, you know, be opportunistic. Mikey Sanders, still the rookie out of Michigan, you know, had that big interception early in the Ravens game that really set Washington up to try to take control of that game. Unfortunately, they weren't able to capitalize fully on it. But, you know, he's a guy that likes to take advantage of quarterback mistakes. And, I mean, I don't got to tell you guys about Marshawn Lattimore and what he'll try to do against quarterbacks that maybe are hurried into making throws.
Best cornerback ever in Saints history.
Yeah, David, that
the very best.
Now, I don't know, sometimes his attitude or whatever, does he play hurt and all that? But I'm telling you, he's hell when he's well. And you look in the history of the Saints, nothing to write home about. It's probably the weakest position when you're talking about over half a century. But I can tell you right now, Marshawn Lattimore is the best quarterback to ever put on a Saints uniform.
And that's not a debate on that.
No. I think the Commanders fans will embrace him. Now, you got to go out and play. And
you got to be available.
Listen, who he's going to be covering with the Saints, he's probably – now, listen, the one thing he could get disinterested if he's – now, like Mike Evans, he can handle Mike Evans at Tampa Bay. He's almost won – when
if it's an average guy,
but challenge him with another top receiver. That's when he's been at his best. And you know when y'all going to play the Eagles and all that. That's something he's going to embrace.
I want AJ Brown.
And stuff. So I'll be interested to see that, because I think Lattimore's going to be highly successful with Washington.
I believe so. David, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time and all your insights.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the invite.
All right,
thanks so much.